Item Shinkatee again, Raymond Britton, manager, violation 10-09. Mr. Badger? Afternoon. Counselor.
Okay, Shinkatee Inn, Raymond Britton is the manager. This is violation 10-09. It's consideration of the failure to comply with commission notice to remove from state-owned submerged lands the western 54-foot by 13.6-foot section of a floating platform installed as a restaurant and sitting area and dining area along Shinkatee Channel in the town of Shinkatee. Wide sheet showing the location of the project. Causeway going to Shinkatee, that's a little bit south on South Main, just north of the Coast Guard station. Again, another aerial taken this week. This is the Shinkatee Inn, this general area here. On June 8th, 2010, we were notified by another restaurant owner that the Shinkatee Inn had added a large floating platform with seating adjacent to their restaurant along Shinkatee Channel. A little closer view. On the platform in here. We did a site inspection on June 11th and observed an unauthorized floating platform. Closer view. Right there, the platform. The unauthorized platform is 71.5 feet from here to here, 13.6 feet across, and then in the back section is 30 feet by 33 and a half feet. And on top of it, there is an open on three-sided roof structure that is 22 by 12 feet. And this is the bar section itself in here.
Where? Happened to look down at my notes at the same time.
This is the...
Okay, thank you.
Again, this is my rendition of the structure itself, the platform. 54 feet falls within our jurisdiction. Man-made boat basin is in here where the bar area is. And again, this is what is in our jurisdiction, 54 feet, 13.6. Everything else is outside of our jurisdiction in the man-made boat basin. So that's 734 square feet. On June 15th of this year, a notice of comply was issued to Mr. Britton for the unauthorized portion of the platform that falls within VMRC's jurisdiction. Notice directed Mr. Britton to immediately remove the western 54-foot section of the floating platform within 10 days of receipt of this letter. The notice further stated that failure to comply within the time frame specified would result in this matter being placed before the full commission as an enforcement action. And Mr. Britton received the notice to comply on June 16th, so the 10 days would have been up on June 26th. Again, a little closer view. As you can see, there's tables in this general area, and this is what portion is in our jurisdiction. On June 18th, Mr. Britton submitted a joint permit application requesting after-the-fact permit for the entire floating platform. We did not believe it was appropriate to take action on Mr. Britton's after-the-fact application until the violation had been resolved. We sent Mr. Written another letter on June 22nd, again stating the failure to remove the platform within the specific time frame would result in this matter being placed before the full commission as an enforcement action. This is my rendition of the jurisdictional line. Ball game, but anyway, the 54 feet out here.
Just from a technical perspective, what makes that rendition accurate?
It's a bulkhead on this side,
uh-huh,
over here. The other side, there's another bulkhead that comes back. Also, a good portion of this area in here is open pile.
Thank you.
On June 28th of this year, we again did an inspection and determined the platform had not been removed. We did note, however, that the platform had been secured to the adjacent pier with mooring lines instead of the previously U-bolts and rollers that had the that the platform had been and that the platform had been certified has received a certification of documentation to BIC Inc. from the National Coast Guard on June 24th of that year. BIC Inc. is Mr. Britton's construction company. And this is just another photo. As you look close, and I... Kathy, can you turn the lights off? I don't really have a good drawing, but you can see that they're pontoon boats. One, two, I believe there's three there, and there's either three or four that might be direction. And that's what the platform is based on or constructed on top of. Okay, thank you. The Coast Guard made a on-site inspection of the structure on July 1st and found that the platform could be documented as a vessel only if Mr. Britton could comply with all the safety requirements contained in the U.S. Coast Guard Marine Safety Manual, Volume 2, Section B, Chapter 4I, Vessels in Immobile Status. The Coast Guard also stated that the floating platform would be closed until all the required information was submitted and approved. Mr. Britton surrendered the certificate of documentation by letter to the Coast Guard on Friday, July 2nd of this year. Again, this it's a little bit better, but there's also additional flotation devices that have been placed inside the pontoons. The pontoon boat is here and here, and there's, can't really see it, but there's additional flotation here.
Mr. Badger, did you ever receive a copy of the application for documentation from the Coast Guard on this matter? As to what the purpose of the item in question would be? I didn't note it in the record. I noticed the letter from Mr. Polson pertaining to the structure being a documented vessel. Then I noted the next day that the surrender of the certificate of documentation, but I didn't see the application for documentation.
I do not have the application in here, I don't believe.
Okay. Thank you.
I got a copy of the certificate.
I have that as well.
Excuse me. I'm not familiar in this case with the term surrender. Does that mean that he decided that?
If you look at item 12-6, blue piece of paper from BIC Inc., dated July 2nd, from Mr. Raymond Britton, it says, I would like to surrender the certificate of documentation. The use we have for the vessel does not warrant documentation certification. Should you need further information?
Okay.
Continue, please.
Mr. Britton has stated from the time of our initial investigation that he does not believe the floating platform is classified. The floating platform is classified as a barge, and therefore VMRC does not have jurisdiction over the vessel. Staff believes the structure is a floating platform that is used as part of the restaurant seating and dining area. Staff also believes that the commercial use alone would require authorization from VMRC, even if the platform was classified as a vessel. Again, this is just showing some additional flotation being placed on the side. Mr. Britton and the Chincoteague Inn constructed a similar structure at the same location last year on pilings without authorization, and that violation number was 0909 from either VMRC or the Army Corps of Engineers. As required by VMRC, Mr. Britton removed the structure from state waters in late September 2009, and he applied to retain the portion of the wharf that fell inside the man-made boat basin. However, the Army Corps of Engineers required the entire structure be removed. Although the first open pile structure was eventually removed, Mr. Britton was able to use the seating and dining area for the entire summer before removing the structure in the fall without any penalties. And these slides are of the violation last year that was removed. It's a little smaller than the floating structure that's out there now, but you can see the three-sided, open-sided bar area back here, and the roof structures is the same. Yeah. were all taken June of last year. And this is the last one of the old structure that was removed. The Accomack County Wetlands Board was advised of the violation. They did not take jurisdiction since this channel would remain low. Department of Environmental Quality sent a letter to Mr. Britton stating that their belief that the structure is in reality a floating dock and represents its expansion of the restaurant. The Army Corps of Engineers states the current configuration of the structure is that of a commercial floating dock and not a construction barge, and that is it requires a BMR, excuse me, an Army Corps of Engineers permit. As you can tell, this was taken in November, and all that was left in our jurisdiction at that time was the pilings, and they were removed shortly thereafter. And this is one last photograph that was taken prior to any of the platforms being constructed. This photo was actually taken for this project over here, but you can still see that there's nothing there. And I'll just leave this up and go to the summary and recommendation. Section 28.2.1203 states it shall be unlawful for any person to build, dump, trespass, or encroach upon or over or take or use any material from the beds of the bay, ocean, rivers, streams, creeks, which are property of the Commonwealth, unless such act is performed pursuant to a permit issued by the Commission. Mr. Britton is a longtime marine contractor and agent who has applied for and received permits from VMRC over 20 years. Therefore, staff does not believe that he could reasonably assume a floating platform or barge used as a restaurant sitting and dining area would not require additional authorization from the same agencies that had required him to remove a similar pier structure in the same location last year. The U.S. Coast Guard Marine Safety Manual, Volume 2, Section B, Chapter 4I, Vessels in Immobile States, states that a barge vessel could receive a certification, certificate of documentation as a permanently moored vessel, provided the vessel could meet all of the appropriate safety standards, local oversight, and site permits from the Army Corps. If Mr. Britton could meet all of the above, the Coast Guard requirements, the Coast Guard would give the structure certificate of documentation as a permanently moored vessel. They would then turn over the responsibility for regulating the safety requirements of the vessel to the local entities. Staff does not believe that the town, county, or state would accept the responsibility or possible liability. That being said, if the Commission was to permit the floating platform, staff believes that the same standards set by the Coast Guard for safety of permanently moored vessels would be appropriate, since the floating platform is homemade and has not been certified for its total capacity. Projects completed without a permit are constructed in a manner other than that authorized by VMRC by a VMRC permit are illegal and may be subject to prosecution both civilly under criminally under 28.2.1203 and civilly under 28.2.1212 and 1213. In lieu of civil penalties, the Commission may also consider civil charges in the amount not to exceed $10,000 for each violation. In the event that the Commission and the applicant cannot agree to a resolution of the violation, the case may can be forwarded to the State Attorney General's office. Seek civil penalty. Maximum penalties may reach $25,000 each day of violation upon such finding by the appropriate circuit court. Based on the above, staff recommends the Commission find the floating structure to be an unlawful use of state-owned submerged lands pursuant to 28.2.1203 of the Code of Virginia and direct immediate removal of that portion of the illegal structure that falls within the jurisdiction. Within VMRC's jurisdiction. Staff believes the structure could be removed within a few days and does not believe any additional removal period should exceed more than the original 10 days. If Mr. Britton does not remove this portion of the floating platform within the time frame established by the Commission, staff recommends this matter be referred to the Office of the Attorney General to seek removal of the structure through the civil court and to seek civil penalties of up to $25,000 per day for the violation. Here to attempt to answer any questions.
Any questions of Mr. Badger?
There is. I asked a representative from the Coast Guard to be here today in case there was documentation questions.
Okay, thank you. Applicant present or represented? Mr. Paulson.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Commissioner, I can see that the chairman wants to move along, and I will try to do so as expeditiously as possible, with the caveat that we have considerable evidence that we do want the commission.
Fully understood. Seems to.
And, sir, if I may.
John. Can you state your full name, please?
John C. Paulson. I represent Mr. Brown.
Thank you, John.
And, Commissioner, may I ask Mr. Badger some questions?
I'd rather you go ahead and provide us the testimony of what you've got than allow for cross-examination. I've been informed by counsel it's not a formal hearing. Cross-examination is not appropriate, but we'll try to accommodate any inquiry that you may have.
First thing that I would note, and I'm going to deviate a little bit, and I'm going to try to make a presentation, then I'll produce some formal evidence and such. You raised a question, I think, about the Shankatig Inn, the jurisdiction. And the interesting thing is, the Shankatig Inn is not an open pile structure, as apparently Mr. Madger may have thought. I'm sure he obviously made a limited inquiry on that. It is not an open pile structure. This particular barge extends basically to the end of the Shankatig Inn. Essentially, most of this is a man-made basin from decades ago. Even staff can only contend that it has 54 feet of jurisdiction towards the end of the Shankatig Inn. The things I would like to note, I think probably I can use the word problem here, is that Mr. Britton in 2009 removed a 3.5 foot wide existing adjacent pier on the south side of the Shankatig Inn to the bulkhead, reconstructed it as this 11.5 foot pier, and some 50 feet of it went over into what Mr. Badger contends is state property. There's been no survey done. No question, the majority of it, wherever the survey line is, lies within the boundaries of the man-made basin. Well, at that point in time, agencies raised the question, again, I think a complaint from a competitor. And basically, Mr. Badger came to see Mr. Britton and basically told him he had to have it permitted or take it down, and he removed it. There is a contention made that, well, he removed it without any penalty. As Mr. Britton will testify, the penalty was the $25,000 that it cost to build it and to take it down at Mr. Badger's behest. In 2010, obviously he was confident that he could perform the same purpose by borrowing an existing barge from Bick Inc., redecking it and putting tables on it for 4 months of the year and then returning it to BIC, basically a legal means to accomplish the same ends. And I think it probably is an axiom of Virginia law or United States law, if one can accomplish something in a legal way, there's nothing wrong with doing that. Now, staff, however, wants to call it, and as you will see by the recommendation and report, a similar structure as 2009, and you have to have a permit. Is it a similar structure as 2009? The pictures clearly indicate that nothing is any further from being that particular fact. You look at 2009 and you saw the pictures and you saw a fixed permanent structure with poles into the subaqueous bottom. It didn't float. It had nothing under it. It was a pier, clearly. Now, the funny thing that we hear, that we read in the report, this similar structure, staff refers to it as a floating platform. If, however, you look at the two notices to Mr. Britton, there's a different term that's used, floating platform slash pier. But then in the evaluation, it becomes a floating platform. I think it was an intentional change on staff's part to try to draw some distinctions and basically say it's the same thing now as it was then. Now, the staff's position is that similar structure, therefore you got to have a permit. And I think, as you can see, it is nothing like in the world a similar structure. And then staff goes one step further and tells you that even if it is a vessel, it ought to have a permit, because it's used in conjunction with the Chincoteague Inn. Now, if BMRC starts attempting to regulate and permit barges, I would respectfully suggest you're on one slippery slope, to say the least. What's temporary? 2 days? 4 months? 6 months? What kind of uses are covered one way or the other? And when you look at 28.2-1203, which is apparently what staff is relying on, it does say something like overstate waters, but that's not the way it is construed. It's basically construed to mean when one constructs a device overstate waters, yes, you have jurisdiction. But I respectfully submit to you that there's probably never been a decision where a barge on navigable water floating has been said to need a BMRC permit. And that's what staff is asking you to do. Staff is asking you to say, well, okay, even if you find it is a vessel, you got a right to permit and you should do so. That's the slippery slope. The one thing I do want to note, there's an assertion in the evaluation, Mr. Britton knew that he had to have a permit to do this. I take strong issue with that. Mr. Britton has always taken the position that he does not have to have a permit for a barge. I concur in that. I probably have a little bit more passing knowledge than a lot of attorneys with BMRC over the years. There's other attorneys that likewise they take the same position, and I would expect probably some commission members would also share that particular thing. I do want to point out very clearly that please do not in any way think that we are not paying proper deference to the commission because we didn't move this. The simple answer to that is we feel like this is not a staff decision. This is a decision to be made by the commission or appropriate court, whatever the future may hold.
Understood.
So we are in no way in the world not respecting your authority and whatever, and I want everybody to please understand that. And if I would, Commissioner, I'd like at this point in time to call Mr. Britton.
Mr. Britton, would you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give in this case will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Can you state your name for the record, please?
Mr. Britton.
Proceed to counsel.
Mr. Britton, where do you live?
I'm Chincoteague.
And who actually operates the Chincoteague Inn?
I do.
And you're a manager?
Right.
What has been your work background over the years?
We've been in reconstruction for about 25 years.
And you answer my next question. Does your company own barges?
Yes.
And how long has your company owned barges?
About 25 years.
And how many barges does Vic own?
Five.
Now, the what kind of barges are there?
I got two large steel barges. I have this particular barge, and I have two wooden barges. Old Monitor's oyster barges. And I also have very small float platforms that are in a couple of them in the special area on the steel barges.
This barge in question, how was it constructed?
It was constructed of 6 pontoon boats.
In the period December of 09 to April of 10, what use was being made of the barge?
We were using it on the Assateague Bridge, put a new water main in. We were a subcontractor for Branson Construction. We put the new water main in and new utility lines for telephone communication conduit for Branson.
The shape of the barge as it existed and as you were using it from, I guess, marine construction is the perfect term there, in December through April, is it the same as it was in this photograph?
Yes.
That's what it was. What was on the back of it at that point?
We had a work trailer on one side of it, and we used the L-shape in the back to store our pipe and fittings and what have you on. We had a scissor lift that we used for the long part to travel up and down because it would fit right between the piling on the Assateague Bridge. And we didn't have to anchor it. We could board right to the piling, and scissor lift could travel the whole length without having to move the barge. We used our smaller barges, and we continued to use it.
Where were your barges moored at when not in use in between jobs?
With them, we're still right at Chicago Inn, Jason Boatslips.
Now, relative to barges, are barges required to either have a Coast Guard documentation or a state registration through Fish and Wildlife or Game Commission?
Not to my knowledge.
Other boats are, barges right. Are.
As long as they don't have power.
In your 25 years in the marine construction, have you ever constructed a floating pier or platform with pontoons under it?
No.
Floating docks and marinas, do they have pontoons under?
No.
Now, in 2009, you had a, 3.5-foot
walkway alongside the Chicago Inn that we took out because it was rotten, the piling was rotten under it, and it's adjacent to the bulkhead alongside the Chicago Inn.
And at that point in time, you did construct a
11-foot rock, the length of it. This is shorter.
Was it in what you believed to be the man-made basin?
Yes, it was.
The by the way, what is the foundation under the Chicago Inn?
There's a bulkhead around the whole Chicago Inn. You can completely crawl under the whole building. I've been under it. There's a bulkhead around the whole building. Just fill out to the very end of it. It shows you. And my thinking from the corner of the building on the water side back in the back would be this jurisdiction.
Is it on an open pile foundation?
It's not on an open pile foundation.
Now, Mr. Badger came to see you in 2009. Search, you need the permits?
Right.
Did you go ahead and take the thing down?
Yes.
And what was your approximate cost to build it and take it down, by the way?
About $25,000 for almost all of it.
Now, in 2010, late April into May of 2010, did you have two steel barges moored in the area?
We put two of my steel barges in the same location this barge is. We had the bar on it, tables on it. We had them lashed together with a gangplank going to them, and they were spudded down with spuds, the four barges were.
And you were making use of them, Chincoteague Inn?
Just like this.
And who'd you get them from?
Put the barges from Vic.
Now, in late May, early June, did you have use, Vic have use of the steel barges?
Yeah, we had to take the biggest one away for the excavator and went down to Quimby with it.
And what, if anything, did you do with the barge that we're talking about?
The one was we moved the other one over, you can still see it in the picture here, then we moved this one in place of it.
Now, did you clean up the deck to the barge, by the way?
We had to put new decking on it, and we put a handrail on it once we got it here.
Why'd you put a new decking on it?
The old decking we had on the thing was real rough, and it wouldn't have fit to walk on for people. And we had machines crawling up and down it, too. It was made in very good condition.
And how long was this barge, were you going to use the barge?
one for you, man?
Yeah.
About 4 months.
Now, in June, you get a visit from Mr. Badger.
Yes, it did.
And there had been a complaint from a competitor.
Right.
And what was the conversation with Mr. Badger at that point?
He indicated that I needed a permit for the platform. And I said, it's not a platform, it's a barge. If it's used as a barge the whole winter, it's a barge. It's constructed as a barge, that's what it is. And I didn't think I needed a permit. I couldn't find anywhere where a barge had ever been regulated by anybody for use. They're used for everything.
Mr. Badger's position.
That there was a platform and I needed a permit.
Did you go ahead and submit a platform?
I submit an application. I asked Mr. Badger, I said, Hank, what can we do to resolve this? I don't want to go before the commission, I'm going to aggravate some problems. What can we do to resolve this? He says, well, you're going to need to make an application. The department's in our jurisdiction. But you know, I still don't think it's in your jurisdiction because of what the city is constructed. But the indicated that I need to make the application, so I filled out the permit application and mailed it to Mr. Badger. But the portion that he said the city's jurisdiction.
And then later you get letters pretending you got the movement.
Right.
That nobody's going to hear your application.
Right.
Jurisdiction or no.
Mm-hmm.
As the commissioners pointed out, at one point did you actually document the barge?
Right. I had documents.
And did you, however, surrender the documentation?
Yes, I did.
Why'd you surrender the documentation?
When I talked to Mr. Gilbert at the Coast Guard, he informed me that something that I didn't know, there was some permanently anchored barge. There's two kinds of barges you can get passengers on. One that's mobile and one that's anchored. One that's stationary, you'll need a permit from the Coast Guard for it, which I wasn't aware of. And his suggestion to me was, if I wanted to go ahead and have to keep the documentation papers and use it as a passenger barge, I had to go through all the certification stuff for passengers. Not keep the documentation as a barge, but ask for passengers. But in the meantime, he said, if I were you, I would go ahead and pursue, if you wanted to pursue the certification, but I will surrender my documentation papers so we don't get involved in it right now.
So basically at that point in time, Coast Guard was out of it
then. He said, we don't have any jurisdiction because it doesn't have numbers or documentation on it. We don't have jurisdiction on that barge. And I said, I'd be like using my other barges. He said, none of those have documentation papers. We don't have any jurisdiction over them.
Now, Tanya Shankig raised any objection to what you're doing?
I had Mr. Lewis there, the town and building inspector. He said he had no problem because it was a barge and he had no concerns with it.
Local Wetlands Board?
None.
Health Department?
We had additional seating on it, which we had permission for.
Now, at this point, we'd like to show the commission some slides, if we may. And Mr. Lamson, if you would come up and cue those up, and we'll let Mr. Britton talk about it.
Unloaded the bar on the back of it that day, and we were redecking it and putting the rail on it. But so we're shaking it again, and part of the tank stand is under the overpile structure, it's not as a bulk of the rail, the whole thing. In fact, there is an existing permit from BMRC, Green Corps, one of the Corps of Engineers, to replace that bulkhead. You own it on Sunset Bay. In fact, I obtained the permits for them. Do this. It's not an open pile structure. That shows the front of the barge and the pontoon going under it.
And yeah. Show the commission the pontoons on the barge.
They're right in the center of the trip. Right there. The pontoon boat in the center of it.
pond is extend all the way over the barge?
Right, all the way through.
What are the things on the side like?
There was extra flotation we added so we could put the machinery on the thing. We're working on the Aztec bridge to get more stability.
And what's that leading from the barge over to the pole?
That's the mooring line where it's moored with.
How is it moored to the bulkhead?
With rope. That's just another picture in front of the mooring line. That shows the back section with the pontoon boats over. You can see them in the front of it. There's three across the back, three coming out this way with the extra flotation under all of them. Show the pontoons under the back section. Show the pontoons in the center, right in the center of the bar, going all the way through. Show a couple more lines with the light rain.
Does it not extend past the shank to the end?
No, it does not. It's about 6 foot back. That's just another picture showing the alley, the light rain on it. Another light rain and showing
it. What's the thing to the left of the picture?
That's the gangway to get to it.
Has two gangways?
Has two gangways.
Do they come up?
Midway.
Do they come up?
You can raise them up.
Like that?
Like that, yeah.
Okay. They attach to the barge or attached to the restaurant?
Attached to the restaurant.
Thank you.
This is the midship.
Now, and this leads into something you did on July the 19th, like 7 o'clock one morning. What did you do that morning?
Well, we wanted to prove it was a barge. We wanted to see how long it would take to get it down the channel, get it underway, and bring it back in. It took 32 minutes from the time we started, put the gangplanks up, disconnected the quick connect electric, the water lines, the three mooring lines. We were in the Chincoteague Channel. We went down by the bridge and back in 32 minutes, it was done. Okay. We disconnected the water line to the barn. They had bow ties on.
This water line, by the way, is it any different than what my trawler has in connecting at a marina?
No. That shows the disconnect plugs, so the electric going to it, the quick coming, just like a plug would have, come to a dock to plug it in. That's him disconnecting it right there so we can move it. That shows him disconnecting. Now we're on time, we're both going to go out with five mooring lines. That's a stern mooring line being disconnected. That's another stern line being disconnected. Ready to get underway with it now. That's just another special taking lines off.
But yeah.
You showed the thing being moved this way at 462 channel. That's the back of it leaving the boat slip now going out. That's the end of the slip work was in. Shows the two ramps up in the elevated position. Bar now, we're out in the channel now. Now we're in the Chincoteague Channel, making a turn to go down the channel towards the bridge. And he was in the channel. We're good, interest up. I remember way going towards the drawbridge and the Chincoteague Channel. Back the other way now, south. Mm-hmm. Head it back into the boat,
sir. Yeah. Again, back into the boat. Yeah, there you go. You're pushing it now.
Pushing it. going back in and vote for that.
Has the name Captain West?
Had the documentation number, was the name of the documentation number that was like the book, and I had it documented. Back up. Ramp going back down. The ramp going down. You can tie back in place.
Thirty-two minutes
it took. This one is the, this is a steel bar that was used in late July by the town of Chicoteague for a function at Robert Reed Park. They had a big steel bar that belonged to Fisher Marine. They had borrowed. They had bands on it. They had tents on it. They had people on it. Entertainment on it. It was more alongside of Robert Reed Park in the town of Chicoteague.
In conjunction with a radio station?
Radio station was on it too. The test
and this was there for what, 3 days?
Yes, they cut it down Friday, moved it on Monday.
I take it nobody's doing any marine construction work.
It was probably all on it, none whatsoever.
At this point, Commissioner, this is a certified copy of the Chicoteague County Council meeting from July 13th, 2010. I'm Chicoteague Time Attorney.
What's the relevance?
The radio station people up here indicated that they had talked with BMRC, and BMRC told them they didn't need any kind of permit.
Okay.
And of course, our relevance is we need a permit, but somebody else making part of use of forest doesn't need a permit. Again, this event makes the point.
Did they say who they spoke to, BMRC?
They did not say who they spoke to.
But they did not, for the record, indicate who they personally spoke with. Thank you. Understood.
Telling me I have to have a permit that I'm using a state bottle,
right?
And the first thing comes to mind, but look at this. That's been on state bottle for 30 years,
and I can assure you, Mr. Paulson, all due respect, if I could attach ownership to the person that owns that, they would receive a letter just like everyone else does, compelling them. And you may have represented some of them before, I'm not sure, giving them 30 days to remove that vessel. If not, they have an appointment before the General District Court, and then we ask the General District Court to compel a removal of that vessel or to take other action necessary to compel removal. We do those routinely.
And it's been an issue for Lord knows how many years.
Correct.
As Mr. Biden well knows.
And if either one of you know exactly who owns it, where I can attach to, I'll be glad to go get them.
Good luck.
Thank you.
This is a small barge and two large barges that belong to the Rugged Bridge. They've been sitting on state bottom now for 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been moved.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting there, not using them now. They're done with them. Just got stuff stored on them.
And we don't know of anybody advocating that they got to have a permit to use the state bottom. Again,
this is a little bit more than just not being used as active alongside the bridge.
Was that ever part and parcel of the construction of the bridge?
8 months ago, yeah.
Thank you.
That That's just a spud weld of one of my steel barges.
What is that?
That's one of the steel barges we used in back in April and May from the center. There's two little platform barges on top too, but that we use. Just one big for us.
Commissioner, this is Mr. Lambertson. Mr. Lambertson, an educator, was there the morning that the 32-minute thing dealt with. I'd be happy for you to swear in. He can verify 32 minutes. He actually timed it.
You're an officer of the court, Mr. Paulson. That's exactly what you've conveyed to us. We've got no reason to believe otherwise.
Last year, up until May of this year,
yes, sir.
The acetate project, he is here, and we were proper. His testimony also. If there's any questions about it, Mr. Dukes is a retired educator, retired on Chesapeake, born and bred on Chesapeake, worked on Chesapeake many years, Chesapeake area, has come back home. He was there that morning, and we likewise testified to 32 minutes. Unless the commission has questions of anyone, but Mr. Britton, basically that would include our evidence.
Okay. I have a couple questions of Mr. Britton, but I'll ask to the commission first if they would like to ask. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have one question. Right up front in the narrative, the staff report does indicate that the floating platform that council has described as a barge that's been installed or otherwise moored at the restaurant at Chincoteague Inn has been used as a restaurant sitting and dining area. Obviously, in the photographs, it's depicted with outdoor seating and a bar area. I mean, is that an accurate description of how it's being used in that context?
Someone wants to ask. It's getting ready to go in September, Snowville, Maryland, public land, where we've got a long pier to build. We only got like 3 or 4 inches, 5 inches of water, which it'll float in with a small machine on to build it in September.
Okay. And another follow-up question.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The council has drawn a number of technical distinctions about the nature of the construction of this barge, that, in fact, it's built on a series of pontoon boats, et cetera. But are you suggesting that the use to which this is being put at its current facility is somehow necessary over state-owned bottom, that it's a water-dependent use of the area?
Mr. Burton?
Are you talking to me or John?
Oh, to you.
I'm talking to me. I didn't hit there was any rules regulating use of a barge. I mean, I timed that with nothing on them. I timed that with excavators on them. I timed that with piling on them. I mean, I didn't know that there was a regulation. I could find none nowhere to regulate the use of a barge.
Just to follow up, Mr. Chairman, but again, the use to which this is being put, are you suggesting that the activity that's occurring on there has to be occurring on the water? In other words, why is it necessary that dining areas be established over the water as opposed to established on land?
They didn't have room for just seating. Other than people like it out there, I mean, it's been for some long.
Thank you.
Mr. Tankard?
It seems to me that there's some contestation of state and bottom or not. And so you are asserting that this is not state owned bottom, and your assertion relies on the fact that the Chincoteague Inn rests on pilings.
It does not rest on pilings. There's a bulkhead completely around that building. There's the existing permit that's been approved by VMRC and all the local agencies to redo the bulkhead, and the Chincoteague Inn will be tore down eventually. It's become a motel, hotel, or condos proper. The owner's intention was to put condos there. With the economy like it is, they put everything on hold. But there is a permit right now to rebulkhead that property.
Yes, sir. So, but again, I guess I'm confused as to why you sought to have a documented vessel at one point, as part of the restaurant, and then now we're saying, well, we really didn't need a documented vessel because we're really not on over top of state-owned land, a state-owned bottom here.
The reason we went to a documented vessel was because we wanted to clearly establish that it was a vessel. Mr. Britton was of the understanding that, the next step would be that there would be no problem with people. Coast Guard said, no problem it being a documented vessel. We accept that. But if you're going to put people on it, there has to be certification by an engineer that it's safe to set and yellow. At that point in time, he went ahead and pulled the documentation because it would obviously take time to do that. So that was the reason for pulling the documentation.
All right, as a follow-up then, so there is no assertion that this is not state-owned bottom. You both agree this is state-owned bottom.
I don't agree with that. I think the question, frankly, is in the air as to where the bottom is and who owns the bottom at what point. There's no question it's a man-made basin, and it would seem to me that there is certainly a reasonable suggestion that maybe the line is at the Shingating end, as opposed to being up 54 feet further where staff was asserting it to be. But there apparently has been no real jurisdictional determination there, so it would seem to be, on fairness, basically the question is up in the air.
I'd like to ask counsel to comment on that for the record, please. Mr. Grandis?
The commission cannot determine private property rights. It can rely on reasonable evidence presented by staff and an applicant. It seems to me that the inn extends out over filled Sebaquis bottom land.
That it extends what?
Out over Sebaquis bottom land. It's owned by the state. And was at one point...
I don't know.
I believe the evidence was that it was built on top of a bulkhead.
It's bulkhead on the outside.
Bulkhead's on the outside, and it's filled under the building. There is a crawl space under that building that you can crawl under. It's like under a house.
Correct.
There's no open pile structure there. I mean, the building itself is constructed on piling, but that's been there since 1900s, probably.
Is it tidal?
Underneath, no.
Not at all. The tide does not ebb and flow under there whatsoever.
The bulkhead around the building.
No, I'm talking about beyond that, where the barge is, where the whatever we call that structure is.
Low water zone, right?
Okay. And it's beyond mean low water, tidally, correct? Any further questions?
But if it's man-made basin.
Well, we've dealt with some cases in the upper reaches of Hopewell that dealt with gravel pits and different things like that as to whether they're man-made, whether they're accessible, whether they're not. So at the present time, we are not going to, as a commission, if that were the case, we'd say, yeah, you know what, we've got no jurisdiction whatsoever. We're not going to abdicate that at this point. I've got Mr. Holland and I've got Mr. Schick.
Is there a difference if a barge is moored or a barge is floating? In other words, if the barge is moored up, there's one regulation as far as people on it, and then if the barge is taken out and moving, there's another regulation?
Yes, it's more strenuous. The regulations are harder to adhere to if it's mobile and you're actually taking passengers up and down the channel. When it's moored in a basin like this, it's a different regulation altogether for it.
Okay, so and you're meeting all those regulations where it's moored?
Without the documentation, I don't have to.
Okay.
Documented vessels, when the Coast Guard, or if I had Virginia numbers or Maryland numbers or North Carolina numbers, Coast Guard would get involved in, where there's no documentation, no numbers or no documentation, the Coast Guard doesn't get involved in a barge, like my steel barges. They're not documented vessels.
Okay.
But like a tied in and do the same thing with them if I wanted to.
Thank you.
Mr. Schick?
So to circumvent the Coast Guard safety regulations for having people on barges, you just, instead of making sure that the safety requirements were covered, you just pulled the documentation?
Not necessarily to circumvent safety. It was done so we could use it this summer. The Coast Guard will stop us from using it until we got it done, which took 2 or 3 weeks.
Right. So you wanted to use the barge to make a profit in lieu of making sure it was safe?
The barge is safe. I mean, right.
But there are Coast Guard regulations showing and tests that have to be performed to show that a barge is safe for people to be on.
Have a survey looking at it.
Right. Okay.
There is no requirement, sir.
Well, I did not. I know.
That if people are on a barge, it has to be safe.
I know that. Yes. I was not implying that there was a requirement that there has to be. The next question is do you have clear title to the property underneath the Chincoteague Inn?
Do I have clear title?
Yeah.
I don't own the building. We lease it.
Is there a clear title to that property, or is it, you know, somebody may contend that the channel was man-made. How about the fill underneath the building? Did that come out over aqueous land owned by the state?
I'm sure there's a deed for that. There is a deed. You did the work for you. There's a deed for that.
Do you have a survey or something to show?
Not with us. There is a survey for this thing to do again, because the developer spent all the $27 million buying that property. I'm sure they did buy it without a deed survey.
Mm. Okay.
I'd like to go back to the documentation aspect, because I think that's very important. When you applied to the United States Coast Guard for documentation of that vessel that was issued, the certificate issued in June of 2010, what did you state the purpose of that vessel was going to be?
I think it was a construction barge.
It was going to be a construction barge. When did you apply for that?
In June.
You applied for it in June to be a construction barge. Yet, less than 30 days later, you've got it moored against the Chincoteague Inn with tables, chairs, and providing seating in a restaurant environment?
Well, it's been a construction barge all winter.
That's not my question. My question specifically, when you told the Coast Guard you were going to do something with it, did you change your mind between point A and point B, or what?
When that farmer doesn't ask you what you're going to put on the deck, it asks you, the use of the boat, it was for construction barge.
Mr. Breton, come. You knew in your mind what you were going to do with that barge when you applied to the United States Coast Guard, did you or did you not?
We were already using it when I applied.
Okay.
We were already using it at the restaurant when I applied.
Right.
For documentation.
We also discussed the purpose of actually documenting the vessel. And at first, I think we discussed that it was to be utilized so that persons could be carried on the barge.
We documented it so it would be.
And I'm not trying to mislead. I'm trying to get it all because it's very
documented common. So that it would be shown as it is a barge, not a floating platform, as Mr. Badger's indicated.
Right. Were you then going to utilize the documentation in an effort to assert to others that, well, it's a documented vessel, it's properly moored, and therefore is not required to have any permits whatsoever from anyone else because it's a moored barge beside a building? Was that your intent?
No, I had no idea. I had to have anything else in the Coast Guard when I had it documented.
I'm not talking about the Coast Guard. I thought my question was, when you had it documented by the Coast Guard, did you think that by getting it documented by the Coast Guard that relieved you of any other permitting requirements?
No, I didn't know I needed any permitting requirements to begin with.
Okay.
Because it was a barge. It was being used as a barge all winter.
Okay. 28.2.1203, I just want to get this on the record because I think it's very important. And I think this might explain just a little bit about staff's comment as far as what the vessel is or isn't. It shall be unlawful for any person to build, which clearly I saw some building going on apparently onto the barge while it was there, dump, trespass, or encroach upon or over, or take or use any materials from the beds of the bays, oceans, rivers, streams, which are the property of the Commonwealth unless such act is performed pursuant to a permit issued by the Commission. Mr. Paulson made an interesting observation during the course of the disassemblage of this barge, where his comment was that the water line that was being removed was the same way that the water line would be removed from your vessel at a marina. Do you have boat slips near the specific location that you rent or allow to be used?
Is that right?
If vessels were moored in those boat slips and you had a permit for them, would you consider that being trespass upon what would be rightfully yours under a permit? It's real simple. If there was a vessel there over area that he had a lawful right to have access and control over, namely boat slips, if something stayed in there that was not allowed to be there, would it be trespassing?
If it was over his land.
Okay. Well, as again, I've not abdicated the fact that it's not the Commonwealth of Virginia's land. Sometimes honesty is the best policy. Sometimes it's not. We've worked long together. I think what we have here is a situation where obviously there was a structure over the subaqueous bottoms of the Commonwealth of Virginia that needed a permit, my opinion, for what it's worth. And I think a lot of measures have been undertaken to circumvent the law. Whether you call it one thing and do something else with it in an effort to achieve the means, at the end of the day, the law of Virginia needs to be complied with. And in all due respect, I believe that there were a number of different steps that were taken through documentation, through moving it in and out, through different things. But any way you look at it, the barge is still, or the vessel is still, over the subaqueous bottoms of the Commonwealth being used appurtenant, connected to a functional business. That's another thing. Your hoses are hooked up. Your electrical's hooked up. People are serving food across the threshold and the gangplank. So to me, that makes it part of, would you, are you shaking your head? Would you say it's not part of the restaurant proper?
And I go back to the point, if I may, sir.
Yes, absolutely.
If there is a legal way to do something, you have the right to do it.
Okay.
You know, and I'm not going to call it a loophole. I think that's too broad a term. If there is a legal way to do something, you have the right to do it without being regulated by any agency one way or the other. It is legal what he is doing. And basically what, you know, you can't say that he has constructed a structure over top of state bottom. I mean, that, you know, just does not fly. The constructing a structure over state bottom is akin to the Palmer case, which went to the Court of Appeals from the Commission in 2006, where the man constructed a storage house over top of piers, which you and I have a long history over the years. And at that point, he said, but I'm not touching subaqueous bottom. But they made the point in that case, but you constructed something over subaqueous bottom. This barge was not constructed over subaqueous bottom. Now, you say something, well, you change some boards. Well, in the law, we say something to the effect, well, that's a distinction, but not a difference. I don't think the commission would say that if somebody changed six boards on the bars that all of a sudden they were doing construction on it. How about if a barge from Norfolk is in the middle of the channel and they're doing some work on the barge, rehabbing the barge? Does that make it required to have a permit? And obviously not. And basically what the commissioner seems to be pointing to is if you have a barge, you've got to have a permit. That is not the law in the Commonwealth of Virginia, sir.
No, sir. I'm not saying if you've got a barge, you've got to have a permit. I'm saying going back to 28.212.03, it shall be unlawful for any person to build, dump, trespass, or encroach upon, or over, or take use of any materials from the beds of the bays, etc. That's my assertion.
And one of the questions I wanted to ask was,
and that's the encroach.
Suppose this barge had sat there all summer long with an excavator on it. Does it have to have a permit? I don't think so. Just like the two steel barges further down don't have to have a permit. Does it have to have a permit if the BIC has a island headquarters in this building and is moored next to the building? I don't think so.
Well, we have, quite honestly, we've had a case similar to that in Isle of Wight County just very recently, where a certain construction company moored up a barge right beside next door to a place without a permit, and they were compelled to remove it. So I just wanted to let you know that.
I think the crucial question here is, well, is this temporary or or whether something is permanent. If something is there temporary, it's like any other thing, moving in transit or whatever, and I don't think you have to have a permit. Now, if one puts a barge there and basically locks it in place, so to speak, it's immobile, then yeah, you might have to have a permit. That's a different factual situation. But this situation is nothing like the 2009 situation that staff wants to try to liken it to.
So you think, Mr. Paulson, due respect, that there is no deference given to the intent in the eye or the mind of the person that's placing the barge there as to what it's being used for whatsoever?
I don't think use has anything to do with it whatsoever. I think the question is, does a barge have the right to float in water that may be over top the Commonwealth's bottom? That is the question, sir. And what these other agencies think, you know, is not relevant. The sole question here before the commission is, does the commission have jurisdiction over floating barges, no matter what the use may be? And I'm perfectly willing to concede that if something is permanently locked in, so to speak, commission probably has jurisdiction. But something that is transient, something is that is temporary, you know, look back up at the radio station barge on weekends. Would the commission assert there? I mean, they're partying. Everybody's out. Is in conjunction with one of their functions.
Well,
do they need a barge?
For what it's worth, I think that's a little bit of apples and oranges, and I'll just tell you why. That's a Friday through Monday, one-time event.
Let me make a distinction, if I may.
Please do.
The question is temporary or permanent. You know, is the commission going to start deciding, well, 2 days is okay, maybe 30 days is not okay, well, maybe 60 days is okay. You know, you all have an awful lot under tow right at this point in time. But you will start regulating barges, decide whether something's temporary or not temporary. And let me leave you with one of my favorite expressions. It's called, are you pregnant? There ain't no in between. You either pregnant or you ain't pregnant, as the old expression goes one way or the other. If you use it for 5 days, are you pregnant? Or you use it for 30 days, are you pregnant? It ain't no in between. It's an either or situation.
So well, I wasn't going to use those colloquials, but I've got to do this. From the way I look at it, as far as the public, under the public trust doctrine, the public does not have the enjoyment and use of where that barge is sitting for an inordinate amount of time. That's what the public trust is all about, I believe, and that's our job to protect it. Now, getting back to statements, there's an old saying that I've heard in court cases many a time, you can take a pig and put lipstick on it, but it ain't a beauty queen.
But it still comes down, it's a legal way to do it. And I would say for the record, there's no other use of this area whatsoever.
Commissioner.
No recreation, there's no crabbing, there's no clamming, nothing whatsoever.
One additional question.
Sure, absolutely.
When it comes to trespassing over state-owned bottom, use is a primary determinator of what that is. If you're mooring a boat, if you're building a pier, if you're bringing in a floating dock, whether it's use as a water dependent use is what we determine whether we should offer up a permit or not. Now, this use here, whether it's a floating dock or a fixed dock, the use is not water dependent. And that is what I see as a problem issue of having an overstate bottom. And it is directly related to use. You're contending it's not. It's not whether it's a barge or whether it's a dock or whether it's a pier or whether it's some Martian word that, you know, we don't even know because there aren't any Martians left. Its use is not water dependent. It's overstate owned bottom. And that's an issue for this commission to be concerned over.
With all due respect, I think that is part of the horse. I don't think use is a pivotal question here. If we follow that theory, then we're going to be looking at all uses to see whether barges have their permits as they travel up and down the bay.
Further comments? Thank you, John. Is there anyone here in support that wishes to be heard? Is there anyone here in opposition to this project that wishes to be heard? If not, the matter's before the commission. Mr. Bowden?
I didn't have any questions, but I will. If the sink begins on pilings, it should have fell in many, many years ago because there's never been one replaced. And I've lived, you know, on the same street for 54 years, and I'm only around three blocks from it, so I wouldn't definitely know that. I think some things we have to agree on. One thing is, it's a barge. If the Coast Guard was willing to document it, it's a barge. You can say anything you want. If you take your car and you take the license tags off of it and you put it in your garage, it doesn't become an appliance. It's still a car. Whether that's documented or not, it was able to be documented as a barge, so it is a barge. Far as construction over water, I've replaced the ceiling in my boat three times. If you want to go by replacing deck needing a permit, I broke the law three times. It needed to be done. I went through it because I walked too much in the boat. And so I really don't consider that construction. I consider this whole thing a gray area. I don't, you know, we do know that's man-made. That is a man-made lagoon there, whatever you want to call it. It is man-made. To what extent the natural land went out, I don't know. I mean, you know, if my father was still living, he may know because he was born in 1911, but he's not no longer with us. I think, you know, you arbitrarily put a line there, and our council said a little while ago that the commission doesn't decide where the existing boundaries are. But we have. Staff has taken it upon itself to say, no, this is where it is. Now, I really think it's on the applicant to prove that he owns the land to a certain extent. I mean, it's not up to us. But clearly, that's a gray area. I think the use probably, we would never permit a floating platform there for that use. I will say that. But we already know this is a barge. What are we willing to regulate? Do we have the authority? If we have the authority to regulate a barge, I like council to tell us where it is, and then, you know, I'll have no problem with this. If we have the authority to regulate a barge, Mr. Polson doesn't believe we do. I have a great deal of respect for his legal opinion. He's been our town attorney for a good while, and he's had many a court case that I'm familiar with. I've never been involved in a court case, and let's hope I never need him on a professional basis either. I mean, you know, we just got so many gray areas. I don't feel confident. I don't consider it a floating dock because the Coast Guard says it's a barge. Far as I went down and looked it over, it definitely has pontoons underneath of it. He definitely used it to do work, so it was a construction barge. Is it appropriate use now? Maybe not. But I don't feel like we have the authority to say what's appropriate use or not if we don't have the authority to regulate the barge to start with. If we do have authority to regulate the barge, I certainly feel like we can say it's an inappropriate use. So I'm really looking towards you. Do we have authority to regulate barges? And if so, I think Mr. Polson would like to know where it is.
That's not the question, whether or not you have the authority to regulate barges. You have to determine first whether or not this particular craft is a barge or vessel or some other floating structure. And when deciding whether or not it is a vessel or a floating structure, you have to look not at how or why it was constructed, but how or why it's being used. And I think
even though it's considered a barge and it's documented as a barge, we could consider it's not a barge.
I don't believe it is documented as a barge.
You remove the documentation.
But if you take the license tags off your car, it's still a car, even though it's no longer documented. You can't change the use of it.
As a marina owner, I have floating docks at the marina. And I got some floating docks for free from somebody. And before they became mine, they got lodged in the channel. This was some years ago. So the problem was, is now we have a marine construction, marine equipment in over state-owned bottom that was not authorized. So somebody was going to get fined. So at that point in time, the question was, well, you can't use it as slips. So really, it's a barge, Or I called Game and Inland Fisheries. They said I could put numbers on it, even though it didn't have a motor on it. So the use of something is what determines what it is. If it's a barge, it's used as a barge. If it's a dock, it's used as a dock. They can be the same thing. I can take a barge, bring it to the marina, get a permit as a floating dock. Or I can take that barge and I can use it as to drive piles on that dock. So the fact that it's a barge or a floating dock is depending on its use, not depending on whether somebody gets a Coast Guard permit or Game and Inland Fisheries numbers or nothing at all. I mean, if you use that car and you take the plates off it and you take it out in the middle of the ocean with 500 other cars and you drop it off, guess what it is? It's not a car anymore. It's a reef.
But it's a reef made of cars.
Made of cars. Well, this is a floating dock made out of a barge, is what this is. But it is gray area. I agree with you 100%. It is very gray.
The fact that we don't really know where the property line is.
But I really think use, where the property line is.
I have no problem with the use.
And the use, if this is state-owned bottom, and they are using it as a restaurant, it is not permitted properly, in my opinion.
I realize my problem is I don't think we have legal authority, and I've only felt that one way before. One time before, and that was on the crab dredge issue, and I don't even know how much that's costing us. I mean, I really just don't feel if it's a barge, and the Coast Guard says it's a barge, you know, I think we could probably try to work something out that's suitable to everyone. There's no way I can support staff, and I have, you know, utmost confidence in staff. And I think Hank done an excellent job. I just think it's a barge, and if we can regulate a barge, I have no problem with going along with the staff. I just don't feel like we can regulate a barge. And yes, you can put numbers on stuff, Kyle, without a motor, but you do not have to.
No,
you can make that choice. You know, I can have health insurance or not until 2014, and then I have to have it.
And then you're a barge.
But I mean, you know, I have options whether I want to do something or not, and you know, there are just so many inaccuracies I consider to be inaccurate, and it may be perfect. I mean, you know, it might just be in my mind. Just like I can't understand one of the statements into the summary says that someone has to take responsibility for it. The person who takes responsibility for it, if it's a permanent moored vessel, is the person who owns it. I don't know why the town, the state, or the county would have to assume liability. You know, anything you put, just like your marina, you have got exclusive use of that water now. If my boat's in a slip, nobody can use underneath my boat unless it's a scuba diver. I mean, you know, anything you moor anywhere, you got exclusive use of that bottom. I mean, and that's the problem I have, and is it appropriate use? Probably not. But I just don't feel like we have the authority to say what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. If it's a barge and the Coast Guard was willing to document it as a barge, we're going to have to take the jump and say the Coast Guard didn't know what they were doing. They did their job incorrectly. It's not a barge. It's a floating platform because it's being used for something we don't think is appropriate use. And in all honesty, it's probably not an appropriate use, but I just don't think we can assert our authority over top the U.S. Coast Guard when they said it was a barge.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, in the interest of the public trust, I think we can assert our authority under state law to be concerned about appropriate use of state-owned bottom lands and the state's waterways. So I think the use is really the central issue. I think the fact that this is built atop a barge or is integrally constructed onto a pontoon boat or a daisy chain series of pontoon boats is really a technical distinction. In other words, you have a series of pontoons under there. I see that versus a perhaps a more traditional floating dock that might have plastic styrofoam filled floats under it, really just being a technical distinction, and I think whether it has plastic floats under it or metal pontoons augmented with additional plastic flotation. I think that's simply in the context of this case, I think that's a technical distinction that doesn't have a significant impact on the issue of whether or not this is an appropriate use over state-owned bottom. I mean, I think, as the commissioner pointed out, it is an encroachment over state-owned bottom. The fact that the structure can be moved in 32 minutes or 3 days, to me, is just nothing more, again, than a technical distinction. Some floating docks in the state may well be tied or otherwise affixed to a fixed dock, and I don't think that whether it's got a line attached to it or it's bolted to the dock is a significant distinction with respect to whether or not the state can regulate that encroachment over state-owned bottom. We haven't drawn that distinction in the past, and again, I think we have to consider the use. The use is clear in the record and in the staff's report, as well as the verbal testimony, that the use to which it's being put in this context is to augment the seating for the restaurant. So you have an activity going on over state-owned bottom, at least in part, that I think is not water-dependent, and I think it's appropriate for us to be concerned about that. I appreciate the fact that there's a part of this structure that may be considered to be a barge, but in this context, I think it's appropriately considered to be what it is in the record. It's a floating structure that's affixed or otherwise moored to the Chincoteague Inn, and it's being used to service restaurant patrons. And I can appreciate the interest in doing that by the owner, but I think it is very appropriate for this commission to be concerned about that type of use over state-owned bottom.
Mr. Taggart?
I concur in general with what Mr. Robbins has just indicated. First, we know this is state-owned bottom. We can't get around that. We know the use is for augmentation of restaurant seating. We can't get around that. There was a dock here. The dock was ordered to be pulled up, and in its place now we have a platform, a barge, whatever you call it, but it's serving the same purpose that the dock served a year before. Can't get around that. The conclusion you reach here is that this is part of a restaurant. And if we're going to allow this barge to be part of a restaurant and say it's okay, the precedent that would be set, I think, would be painful for the state of Virginia. All of a sudden, no one would want a dock anymore. They would just say they want a barge. So I can't see how we as a commission can permit this use of state-owned bottom. 28.1203 clearly states that we can give permits, that there is use of state-owned bottom that we can decide upon, and it seems to me that this is not a use of which we can permit at this time, given that it is a part of a restaurant. I just think you have to keep it simple. Well, there's been a lot of rhetoric, there's been a lot of talk, but this is part of a restaurant over state-owned bottom.
Further comments? Mr. Holland?
Mr. Chairman, this is a very difficult decision. I really feel it is a gray area. But I think it's been well documented that this is a barge. And I just don't feel like that we have jurisdiction over a barge. I mean, if somebody pulls in with a 30-foot party barge and they're serving food and they're doing whatever they're doing on it, we don't have that jurisdiction. And it's been proven that this barge can be moved in 32 minutes while they're gone. If somebody else comes in there, state bottoms, anchors up a boat, then they're out of luck. So I think Hank's done a great job, but I can't in good conscience, and I can't go along with it being part of the restaurant.
Mr. Lane?
I think this is purely simply an end run around regulations. I think we're all aware of where we're coming from and where we've been on this issue. Whether or not it's a barge or not, I don't think it's really important. I think what's important is water dependency. If we approve this, going to open the door to no telling what. So I don't think it's a good idea.
Matters before the commission for action.
I move that it be declared in accord with the staff recommendations an unlawful structure. A structure is the right word, and that it be removed in accord with staff recommendation.
Okay. There are certain provisions. Mr. Grandis, do you want to get into the civil penalty aspect of it that have to be part of the motion? Or the parameters involved therein? 1-3.
8.2, 1205. You know, arch needs to be removed. The use of it needs to be.
The civil charges have to be in lieu of other enforcement action. Have to be agreed to by the call the applicant, but not the applicant, the person who's being charged with the violation. Mr. Britton here is not prepared to agree to a civil penalty. One may be imposed by a court if this action is referred to the Attorney General and is a civil charge may only be imposed if Mr. Britton agrees to it. If he does not agree to a civil charge in lieu of further enforcement action, the matter and it does not comply with the Commission's order, the action could be referred to the Attorney General's office and then enforced through the Circuit Court.
Yes, sir.
It would not seem to me to be appropriate for any kind of civil charge here. You've got two veteran commissioners here who've been on this commission a long time who I expect are probably going to disagree with the majority of the commission, which to me, as they say, it is a great issue. We have been bona fide. We still think we don't need a permit. Commission, I believe, will say otherwise. However, in view of those circumstances, it would seem to me that no civil charge would be appropriate. If you tell us to move it, we are going to move it. We're either going to move it or perfect an appeal, whatever, by law. But we are not going to ignore the law, if I may say. So if you tell us to move it, we're either going to move it or we're going to properly note the
appeal. Under 282.
There's not going to be any argument about it one way or the other.
Sure.
And that's the way we will proceed.
Well, just maybe so I can clarify Mr. Lane's motion to make sure I understand. Mr. Lane, your motion would be the one that's based in the paragraph, based on what the staff recommends the commission find the floating structure to be unlawful use of state-owned bottom land pursuant to 28.2.1203 of the Code of Virginia and direct immediate removal of the portion of the illegal structure that falls within the jurisdiction of Western 54 by 13.6-foot section of a floating platform. Staff also believes the structure should be removed within just a few days and does not believe an additional removal period should exceed more than 10 days as originally provided. I don't want to put words in your mouth. That is a staff recommendation under Section 1-3 of the booklet you have.
Yes, sir. That's a lot better, more clear statement of my motion, yes.
Mr. Chair, one question. If you wanted to use it as a barge again and put an excavator on it, he can put it there. So, as opposed to removing the actual barge itself, dock, pier, platform, structure, it's really the use that we want to be removed, not the structure itself. Because the structure could be docked there if it has an excavator on it in the process of being used in construction. So maybe we should be looking at the use should cease and desist, and all equipment associated with that use should be removed.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you. I would just suggest getting a second to the motion before we discuss
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second it.
Second by Mr. Robbins. Mr. Robbins, further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, yes, and on the issue that came up relative to whether or not this should include any sort of civil charge, typically we go one way or the other. If the applicant is allowed to retain the structure in its entirety or through some other modification, we would pursue a civil charge if appropriate. In this case, we're directing removal of the jurisdictional component, and so I don't think a civil charge is in order at all.
That's fine.
I think the motion, as it's stated, suggests that portion that's overstated on the bottom should be removed.
And all due respect, I know where you're coming from, but I believe that the motion as made compels the removal of this specific entity. I do, unless...
Well, I'd like to make a substitute motion then.
As long as it passes the muster of council.
Yeah, with question. That
why don't you ask the question before you make the substitute motion?
Can we direct him to remove the equipment and cease the use of this structure as a non-water dependent use?
Say that one more time.
Can we direct the
removal of the structure?
The removal of the equipment and the use of that structure as a non-water dependent use? Or do we have to, or do we? Can we only say you have to remove the whole structure?
I believe you can order him to cease and desist using it as anything that was as a restaurant.
Yeah.
But your discussion earlier about what is water dependent, what is not water dependent, is sort of premature. Mm-hmm. I think you have to first determine whether or not this particular craft is a barge or a floating structure. And that may or may not depend on whether or not it's water dependent. If this was a hearing, because this is not an after the fact permit application. This is a hearing on a violation. If he came before the commission on an after the fact permit application, and you were going to decide whether or not to permit this facility, then you would consider factors such as water dependency. Right now, the only thing before you is whether or not this vessel is a vessel, or whether it's a structure.
So, and should be removed or not.
And whether it should be removed or not. You can direct him to cease the particular use that is outside
right.
The code.
I just believe that at this situation, staff has come to us with a problem with a specific structure being where it's not supposed to be. Plain and simple. What went on top of that is non-water dependent. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But to remove it compels what we want at this juncture to achieve. I'm a little concerned, and I don't mind saying it outwardly, that when you start getting into too much of what falls into what might be determined to be zoning or different things, it may muddy the water as far as the case that we have in front of us and the responsibilities that we have as far as encroachment over the subaqueous bottomlands. That might fly in the face and might be contradictory to what some of the arguments have been made about what's going on top of there, but the bottom line is this is a vessel that's basically, as far as I'm concerned, encroaching on subaqueous bottomlands without a permit, plain and simple. If you feel otherwise, I'm still... Comment?
Well, I mean, my question is, let's say he removes it, and then he uses it in his project, and he brings it back with his construction equipment on it, and he moors it up overnight there in the same spot. Are we going to say that he has to move it?
I think you look at the use, and at that point it's being used as a barge.
Water dependent.
Okay.
Call the question. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
Three noes? Okay. Motion carries. Thank you very much. We're now going to break for lunch for about 25 minutes and come back and start back on the remainder of the agenda.